Happy holidays from KSCO.
And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. As I mentioned, more than half of all adults just in the United States take some sort of multivitamin. Many do so in hopes of preventing diseases and to build up their immunities. And a study, several studies have just come out now that say, hey, they don't work. So we're going to turn with Dr. Joel Wallach. Dr. Joel Wallach years ago formed the company Youngevity. It's a publicly traded company now. And, of course, he has devoted his career to nutrition and supplements. And we want to get his reaction this hour to this story. First of all, Joel, welcome to Coast. How are you?
Very fine. Thank you so much for your hospitality, George.
My pleasure. Joel, first of all, you know, you are a veterinarian that got into nutrition when you saw what it did for animals. You decided to start helping people. How did that all come about for you?
Well, it actually started, I guess when I was 9 years old, I had what would be called Tourette syndrome today, you know, the facial tic and the grunting noises and so forth. And it started when I was four, got very bad by the time I was nine. All my friends thought I was possessed. And so my mom took me to an eye doctor. The eye doctor said there's nothing wrong with me, basically, but I had long eyelashes that curled back and tickled my eyeballs. That's what was making it happen. Well, I'm 9 years old, George, and I was smarter than that, knew that that couldn't be. So I went to the library at school, found a nurse's handbook that said cramps could be caused by calcium deficiency. And before the bus would pick me up to, you know, take me to school in the mornings, I'd have to feed the calves with a bag full of alfalfa pellets and had an analysis tag on it and said it had calcium in it, amongst other things. So I came home that day after school, started taking these calf pellets. In the morning, I threw the Cheerios out to the chickens and put the calf pellets in my bowl and put milk with it. By the third day, my Tourette syndrome was gone. So I knew that vitamins, minerals had some value. Went to ag school at the University of Missouri, went to veterinary school at the University of Missouri, did a wonderful postdoctoral fellowship in comparative pathology at Washington University in St. Louis, Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom show.
I know it well.
And then I was in Africa doing a conservation work with white rhino, and Perkins called me back to be the pathologist on a big project where I was doing autopsies on both animals and people, looking for pollution as an initiating factor of chronic degenerative disease. And to make a long story short, over a period of years, I did over 20,000 autopsies and 10 million chemistries that included 17,000 and some change of over 454 species of zoo animals and 3,000 humans. And the bottom line of that research was that every animal and every human being who died of natural causes died of nutritional deficiency disease. And that's books in the Smithsonian Institute as a national treasure. Went on to work at the Yerkes Primate Center at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, discovered the first case of non-human cystic fibrosis in a young monkey, and everybody's excited about it. And when I did the backtracking on it, found that it was actually caused by a deficiency of a trace mineral selenium during pregnancy, and I could repeat it and reproduce it and make all kinds of experimental monkeys to study cystic fibrosis, and I got fired for it. And so I went back to school and became a naturopathic physician, which are primary care physicians, primarily out in the West Coast, that can use just about everything a medical doctor can do, but we prefer to use vitamins and minerals. And so that's kind of the shortest version of the story I can tell you.
All right. Well, this study here, the series of studies that have come out, my point is are they talking about pharmaceutical-grade vitamins and supplements, or are they talking about some of the stuff you get at drugstores and over-the-counter and things like that, which may not include or have the kinds of ingredients you really need to have? Nonetheless, they've made it sound like now that vitamins and multivitamins just don't work. So what's your reaction to that, Doc?
Well, when you read the articles, they don't even rise to the level of comic books. Talk about these people taking multivitamins, but you don't know how many milligrams or micrograms or international units of anything they're taking, even what the contents of these things were. You don't know that they took blood samples to show that these vitamins and minerals actually got into their bloodstream, that these people had malabsorption problems. And, of course, when you look at some of the claims, said, well, these things didn't have any benefit for cardiovascular disease, was one of the things they said. And There's three major types of cardiovascular disease. One is congestive heart failure, which is a deficiency of a single vitamin. Thiamine, vitamin B1, is the basic root cause of congestive heart failure, the most common cause of heart death in America. And, of course, the study was actually funded by Pfizer Pharmaceuticals.
Okay?
So that's highly suspicious right there. And they didn't tell you how much thiamine was in these. And then cardiomyopathy heart disease, which I'm a world's expert in, without bragging, is a deficiency of a single mineral, selenium. I actually did 1,700 autopsies on kids under the age of 10 that had this disease published in Chinese and in English in scientific journals here in America and China. And they didn't have any extra selenium, and the one that was supposed to do something for 6,000 medical doctors over the age of 65 didn't help them with cardiovascular disease or dementia. And then, of course, there's coronary artery disease and thrombosis, which is caused by inflammation, eating fried foods and salad dressings, and a deficiency of omega-3 essential fatty acids. And these things weren't mentioned or dealt with. They just lumped all cardiovascular disease into one pile as though it's a single disease. It's at least a half a dozen different diseases. And so they missed it very badly. And again, since it was funded by Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, I'm not too surprised. It'd be very interesting to know how much money these doctors make as consultants for Pfizer, or whether they're driving Mercedes or whatever that's provided by Pfizer.
Well, and what's so confusing, I think, to the public, doctor, is, you see a study that says this is good for you, you know, take a low-dose aspirin, take these supplements. And then you see studies like this that simply say, look, you know, we looked at 1,700 patients who had heart attacks. Multiple vitamins don't work for them. It's confusing to the public. What do they do? What is the person on the street, the person at home, Joel, who's listening to this program, what do they do? Who do they believe?
Well, that's everybody's concern, of course, George. You've hit the nail on the head, and that's why you're the great guy you are. I appreciate your observation skills. The thing you have to appreciate is vitamins and minerals are essential nutrients. So they do things to support the activities of DNA, RNA, enzymes, genes, digestive functions, thinking functions, all the stuff that goes on, even vision. Every function in your body has vitamins and minerals that are required to make them happen. So these things aren't just will-o'-the-wisp whims that people make up. For instance, in this Keyshawn disease project where I did the 1,700 autopsies in the kids under the age of 10 that died of cardiomyopathy heart disease. Before we gave these populations of kids selenium, 13 out of every 1,000 of these kids in Keyshawn province, which has little or no selenium in the soil, 13 out of every 1,000 would die. And once we started giving them selenium, only 1 out of 1,000 died. And today I would think that none out of 1,000 die from this disease. And so for doctors to say that vitamins and minerals have no positive effect on these things is absolutely deceitful.
And I've seen you, Joel, at conferences, and I've seen you at dinner with groups of people, and you've got a handful of vitamins and minerals and supplements with you. And so the big question would be, too, is what do we do in terms of how do we know how much we should take as opposed to just taking one, for example? The studies, and I'm not going to mention the brand names, but the studies knocked several brand names that you can get at your local drugstore.
Sure.
And they claim that you don't have enough minerals in those vitamins. They don't make any difference. So how do you know how do you know how much to take?
Well, the recommended daily allowances are available just about everywhere. You can find them in any book in a health food store. Any book in a pharmacy that's available.
Okay.
You can go online and find this information. And basically, what I like to do myself, and I don't expect everybody to do this, but what I do is, of course, I take the therapeutic dose of everything because I'm busy like you. I fly 300 days out of the year just about to give lectures 300 days out of the year. And so I'm very busy, and I can't afford to expect to get everything from my food, so I take everything in the form of supplements. And that way, whatever I get for my food is kind of value added. And you have to be pretty much obsessive about this. The long-lived cultures on Earth have a 100-year-old per 250 of their populations. Americans only have 100-year-old per 10,000. The medical system has failed us very badly. We know that baby formulas that we feed infant babies that aren't breastfeeding, this is in the Journal of Food Chemistry, came out on April 16, 2012, George, said that baby formulas in America have less than 20% of the vitamins and minerals that babies need. Dog food has 100% by contrast.
Oh, my gosh.
And so if we don't supplement these kids, they wind up with just about every disease you can think of. And so I hold OBGYNs and pediatricians responsible for all this. And, of course, they get little or no training in vitamins and minerals. And as long as Pfizer Pharmaceuticals continues to pay these guys to be consultants and so forth, they're not going to have very nice comments for vitamins and minerals.
Good point. Joel, we're going to take this break. We're going to come back and take some phone calls and talk more about this. I want to ask you, when we come back, what about our food source? How many vitamins and minerals do we get just eating our normal food intake every day? Because we need to factor that in, too. I'm George Norrie. We will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Sign up now for Coast Zone, our free email newsletter. Get it today at coasttocoastam.com.
Happy Holidays from KSCO. Happy Holidays from KSCO.
Hey, and welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Dr. Joel Wallach with me this hour. We're going to take your phone calls in a moment. So, Joel, like, for example, the daily intake of vitamin C should be 75 milligrams. And, you know, so let's say you look at your vitamin packet and it's got 50, so you're 25 milligrams short. How much do we pick up in our food source?
Well, that's going to be highly variable, and that's the problem. For instance, if you eat an orange, you have no idea how much vitamin C it started with per segment. You don't know how it was stored, how it was shipped, what temperature, how long it's been in storage.
Right.
So it might only have 10 milligrams per segment instead of 100 or 75 because there is deterioration of these organic products. And then, of course, when you're talking about minerals, nutritional minerals jars do not occur in a uniform blanket around the crust of the earth. They occur in veins like chocolate and chocolate ripple ice cream. And so if you look at a map, for instance, of the continental United States, selenium deficiency is very low. Distribution is very low around the Great Lakes and very low around the coast, and is scattered widely throughout the center part of the United States. That's why we have so much livestock and farming there, because there's a little bit of selenium there.
I see.
And so if you get food that's grown around the Great Lakes, you better be supplementing with selenium, otherwise you're at high risk for selenium deficiency diseases, and your babies will be at high risk for things like muscular dystrophy, cystic fibrosis, cataracts, these types of things. And so these things are relatively regional, just like if you're deficient in iodine, there's a lot of goiter in an area, that kind of thing.
Is a little bit better than nothing, because according to these studies we're talking about, they would say no, it doesn't matter. But I would think a little bit is better than nothing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely right. Something is better than nothing. It's just a matter of then when you only have, say, 25% of what you're supposed to take in, and you're doing something bad, you're taking in too many free radicals, for instance, eating too much fried foods, too many salad dressings, too many cooking oils, too much mayonnaise, this puts free radical stress on your body. And so if you're only taking in, say, 25% or 30% of what you're supposed to have, that's not enough to fend off, under those circumstances, free radical damage. You're going to wind up with trouble. Arteriosclerosis, heart attacks, cataracts, these types of things. Whereas if you have 100% of what you need, you're more likely to be able to defend yourself against these onslaughts.
All right, let's take some calls here for you. Dave is truck driving in North Dakota on our wild card line. Welcome to the program, Dave. You're on Coast to Coast.
Thanks. Yeah, my question is, Dr. Joel, you know, just being a typical driver, man, we're most of us don't eat worth beans, and, you know, when we do eat, it's generally not the right stuff. What do you have as far as products are concerned that kind of counteract the not such a healthy lifestyle?
Well, that's a good question. What do you do when you don't have the healthy lifestyle, Dr. Wallach? I mean, what do you do?
Well, this is where you have to be really conscious and almost obsessive about supplementation to, again, raise your level of protection against forces you can't control. And then when you are in a truck stop, and I spend a lot of time in truck stops because we do a lot of driving, so I spend a lot of time in truck stops. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm very selective on what I order. For instance, I'll order salads, but I won't use any salad dressings. I will, for instance, I'll have four poached eggs and a steak for breakfast. And if they have a baked sweet potato, I'll have that as opposed to French fries. If they don't have baked sweet potatoes, I might have, again, just sliced tomatoes with a hamburger patty. I stay away from breads and I'm able to keep my weight down and keep my sugar low. My pulse is 43. My blood pressure is 90 over 60 by doing these things. And of course, I take all 90 essential nutrients twice a day. And so I'm getting probably four times the minimum daily requirement. I'm 74 years old. I have not been to a doctor in 66 years. With me being the patient, I don't have any diseases. I've never been in my life been on a prescription medication. And so you get benefits by being a little bit obsessive, by avoiding the bad things and by supplementing at least the very minimum of what we're supposed to take. But I like to at least double that, and I take double. In other words, I take twice what I'm supposed to take twice a day.
Joel, I've always been a proponent of natural mainstream medicine combined with natural techniques and mixing them together. So, you know, my doctor, for example, a year ago, I took a blood test, and he said, everything looks good, except you've got a very low vitamin D level. And he said, I want you to take vitamin D supplements and increase that. So I did, and I got that up to a acceptable level. But I'd like to mix mainstream medicine with natural. To me, that's a good mix. What do you think of that?
Well, I think you're exactly right. The human body has the ability to accept certain things, but usually what you call orthodox medicine, mainstream medicine, they use a lot of synthetic stuff. The best place to get vitamin D3 naturally is egg yolks. Egg yolks is absolutely perfect. It's just loaded with vitamin D3, and that's why I like to eat anywhere from 4 to 6 eggs a day minimum. My good days, I'm eating maybe 8 to 10 eggs a day. I go to hotels and I'll have a breakfast of 4 poached eggs, and I'll have 4 poached eggs for lunch. There's a lot of breakfast places you can have eggs all day. After our seminars, we'll go out and have a meeting. After the meeting, I'll have another 4 poached eggs.
Don't you have high cholesterol eating all those eggs?
Well, cholesterol doesn't cause a single disease. In fact, there's not a single disease that's caused by elevated blood cholesterol. This has been sort of a boogeyman that turned out to be the cause of many human diseases, low T, low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, Alzheimer's disease, adrenal exhaustion. These types of things are all caused by statin drugs that lower cholesterol, because the cholesterol, for instance, makes up 75% of the brain weight, makes up 95% of the weight of steroid hormones like adrenal hormones, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. And by lowering our cholesterol, we've created all these physician-caused diseases. In fact, it was so bad that even the FDA, George, sent out a warning in February of 2012 that said that if you're taking a statin drug to lower cholesterol for 10 years, at the same time you're eating a cholesterol-restricted diet for that same 10 years, you're going to increase your risk of type 2 diabetes by 52% and Alzheimer's disease by 100%.
That's amazing.
They warned doctors to get all their patients off of cholesterol-lowering statin drugs.
Let's go next to Nick in Roslyn, New York. Welcome to the program, Nick. Thanks for calling.
Hey, George, how are you doing?
Good,
Nick. I got a question for Dr. Joe. I also got a quick one for you, too, but let me ask Dr. Joe first. Dr. Wallace is your last name?
Wallach.
Oh, Dr. Wallach. Okay, Dr. Wallach. You said you had a did a study with monkeys and cystic fibrosis and selenium.
Yeah, I actually did recognize the first non-human case of cystic fibrosis at the Yerkes Primate Center at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, in 1977. And I did biopsies of the gang.
Okay, that's great. So you're familiar with the disease?
Oh, I know the disease very well.
Okay, great. Both my parents had it in their genes, and consequently, I'm, you know, a product of that. I'm the one in four who didn't get the disease. I lost two brothers to the disease.
Sorry.
Okay, I want you to stop a minute.
Carrier of the disease.
Stop a minute. Stop a minute. That tells you immediately that it's not genetic. Because if your mother and father both had the genes, or they had the disease, okay, and
they didn't have the disease, they had it in their genes.
Yeah,
I was tested for the disease up at Children's Hospital in Boston, and by one of the foremost doctors in the country relative to the disease, and he said, "I don't have the disease, but I'm a carrier of the disease," which makes me wonder if I decide to have children and my wife is a carrier, if she takes selenium, would that minimize the propensity of the child to be born with the disease?
Okay, here's the answer to the question. If their theory is correct that the disease is genetic, the answer would be no. But the disease is not genetically transmitted, and so the answer is yes. The selenium supplementation would reduce the risk of a child being born with cystic fibrosis. I actually have experience in reversing the genetic markers for cystic fibrosis in children. And these, the actual test was done in a blind way by the hospitals where these kids are from. Some of them are from Indiana, some are from Italy. And it's kind of amazing. It really surprises the doctors. We don't know what happened here because these kids tested positive. And unknown to them, we gave them our program, and then as they went back...
The selenium, you mean? You mean that you gave them your program of taking the selenium?
Well, it's more than selenium. It's a complete program plus extra selenium.
Yeah.
And a special diet. And, of course, we've been able to consistently reverse genetic markers.
That's good to know. My second thing, George, was to ask you, you mentioned one time about there was some place you could go online to check out how potent vitamins were, different brands. Could you give me that website?
Oh, I've got to dig it out again. It is a consumer website. I'll dig it up. I think it's Joel, is it consumerlabs.org? There's a company that looks at specific vitamins and supplements.
I believe that would be correct.
I think that's it.
Consumerlabs.org.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. They do a great job doing that. Let's talk a little bit about children. You know, I've got six grandchildren, and I want to make sure that they're getting the right ingredients, the right vitamins, the right supplements. What does a parent do with a little kid? Because they're not going to get it in just their food source at all. So what do they do?
Well, they do have to supplement. And it's a very good idea to get children used to taking vitamin and mineral supplements when they're very, very young. So as they get older, let's say they run into type 2 diabetes, and you say, look, you add these things to your program, your vitamin and mineral program, when you're 25, 30 years old, your type 2 diabetes will go away. And they'll say, oh, okay. Now, if you say that to a 75-year-old person who's, say, on 8 prescription drugs, they'll say, you know, I better ask my doctor first. And the doctor says, oh, that's all nonsense, just like these articles we're talking about today. And so what happens is these individuals who are older, they miss the benefits of this supplement program where you want to start your children ideally before they're conceived, all through the pregnancies are developed in from the moment they're born and have their own supplements. But if you get your grandkids who are 6 months old, 6 years old, 18 years old, get them going on a program that has optimal amounts of vitamins and minerals, and you'll truly add 25 to 50 healthful years to their life.
That's a lot. Jan in Brooklyn. Hey, Jan, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Dr.
Jan.
Wallach.
Hi.
Whether it's aspirin or flu or vitamins, I find things are not quality controlled, like only one out of three tests good. I pick up energies, and I also see energies. So, like, when they did the testing, they might have gotten the vitamins that really weren't good at all.
That's
I know you make you have your own brand of vitamins and everything, or food things that you have, because I've seen you at the Health Expo.
Okay, yeah, he does. He does. I'll give you a website when we're done with the interview for those of you who are interested in tracking
Thanks
that.
For but kind she, words.
She brings up a good point. How do we know? Because they're not that regulated, and we don't want them regulated, but at some point you might have to. How do we know we're not getting junk from China?
Okay, well, this is a good point. And, of course, there is what's called the Deshaies Law. It was actually a bill that a fellow by the name of Clinton Miller and myself, we spent, 25 years working on this. We actually got the bill passed, and it separates out through the FDA. It separates out vitamins and minerals and food supplements from pharmaceuticals. Now, they are highly regulated, but in a different way. In other words, the FDA comes into a factory, they pick up the labels, and they pick up samples of the product. They go to their labs, and they analyze these products, and they find the results and compare them to the labels. They say, well, you don't have to do any testing like, for instance, the pharmaceutical industry does.
Right.
People say, see, well, there's no testing there. But that's not true. The whole story is, for instance, there's billions of dollars worth of testing done on vitamins and minerals and various products. In fact, our company, we do a lot of testing with universities. Clemson University, for instance, they started out doing cell cultures on normal human cells to see if our products did toxicity in human cells. And then we took human cells and culture that had cancer, colon cancer, stomach cancer, breast cancer, and saw what our products did in killing the cancer cells.
Well, see, what's so important, Joel, is, for example, like saw palmetto, which is great for the prostate. You know, there have been some tests done where instead of it being pure saw palmetto, half of it contain weeds from somebody. So, I mean, that needs to be watched, doesn't it?
Well, yes. Of course, this is where the FDA, when they pick up your bottle of saw palmetto and your label, and it doesn't say it's 50% weed and 50% saw palmetto, and they analyze it, and it turns out to be 50% wheat, they come in, and they will fine you or shut you down and so forth. And so they do have label control. But for people to say, well, there's no testing, well, that's not true, because there's literally billions of dollars worth of testing on these basic products. It's just not done in the same manner. In other words, I won't do the testing of my own products like Pfizer does testing of their own products. I will have a big university do it. And, of course, our veterinary school, agricultural school, they do these things for the benefit of the livestock industry and laboratory animal industry and the pet animal industry.
You want somebody impartial, right?
Exactly. And so I think in the animal industry, we do a better job than they do in the human pharmaceutical industry. So myself, being a veterinarian and a primary care physician, I'm very cognizant of that. And, again, we had this Deshaies Law passed, and I'm very proud of that, to keep the two separate. Vitamins and minerals are a totally different animal than pharmaceuticals. For instance, I have to throw this one in, George. In 2007 was the first time that the reports, adverse events reports, were reported on vitamins and minerals in the United States versus pharmaceuticals. In 2007, there were adverse events reports filed for vitamins and minerals. There were 600. No fatalities. It was all rashy skin from too much niacin, vitamin B3, diarrhea from too much vitamin C, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
600 adverse event reports for 2007. That very same year, 2007, for prescription pharmaceuticals, there was 478,500 adverse reports for pharmaceuticals were prescribed, and almost all of those were fatalities.
That is amazing. Joel, thank you for reacting to the series of studies, which say that multivitamins and minerals, they don't work. And you just heard Dr. Joel Wallach, of course. And if you want more information on what he does, his website is linked up, of course, at coasttocoastam.com, right under tonight's guest. It's right there for you. I'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk about electromagnetic pulses and also a pillar in the sky.
Do you have a photo that you think would interest the